This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Roll out those lazy, hazy, crazy days of summer. Those days of soda and pretzels and beer. Roll out those lazy, hazy, crazy days of summer. Dust off the sun and moon and sing a song of cheer. Just fill your basket full of sandwiches and weenies. Then lock the house up, now you're set. And on the beach you'll see the girls in their bikinis. As cute as ever, but they never get them wet. Roll out those lazy, hazy, crazy days of summer. Those days of soda and pretzels and beer. Roll out those lazy, hazy, crazy days of summer. You'll wish that summer could always be here.
Oh yeah, a little bit of the Napkin Call. You remember that when you were a kid? Great song. Right in the middle of the summertime, too. Good morning, welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with Big Ed, we thank you for being with us. It is Friday, August the 6th. I believe a lot of kids are going back to school next week around Pinellas County, by the way. So enjoy the summer while it's still here. We will be talking in a few minutes with Sarah Perry of the Heritage Foundation. We're going to talk about trouble at a Northern Illinois school district when it comes to forcing teachers and students to discuss critical race theory. So stay tuned for that, if you will. And the White House, silent on forcing illegal immigrants to be vaccinated. Real quiet on it, all the while demanding that U.S. citizens get their shots. Or else, right? Well, we're going to get some perspective on this and other things political when we chat with the proprietor of the barber pole himself a little bit later in the show. Master Barber Andrew Ceresi. And remember Ashley Babbitt? Does that name ring a bell? She was the lone person killed in the so-called January 6th insurrection. Remember her? Well, her family is suing the Capitol Police on what they say was an ambush by them as she came through the door. We're going to talk about it, look at it, stay tuned for that a little later in the show. And have a goodie in the Ultimate Top 10. What are the top 10 most populated counties in the United States? We're going to tell you what they are. Top 10 largest counties in America. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcast Plaza in Dunedin. It is a great place, a great price, a great haircut. They are open Tuesdays through Saturdays. Call first for your appointment, guys, 727-733-3773. And by the way, I hope you've been listening to Good Morning Clearwater, 8 to 10 a.m. every Monday through Friday, right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Let Paul and Tracy Allen start off your day with the latest in news and entertainment and sports. It's a fun show. All right. So, in a few minutes, we're going to be talking with Sarah Perry of the Heritage Foundation about what's going on with teaching this, I guess you could call it racial history, critical race theory, whatever you want to call it. In the meantime, the Rhode Island branch of a former, of a major a teachers union is trying to block a school district from filling in or fulfilling a mother's request for public records on critical race theory, and it's being forced on students. This is a teacher that wants records on it. It revolves around, I should say it's a mother, not a teacher, a mother that wants the info. It revolves around Nicole Solis, who caught national attention in her attempt to address critical race theory in her child's school district in Rhode Island. Now, school board members had considered suing her over all the records that she has been requesting. I guess she's a pain in the rear end to them. She requested at least 200 records. They want to know whether or not that they can fulfill all of this while balancing their teachers' union privacy rights. So which is it? The public interest or privacy rights, right? That's going to be what the courts are going to decide. Now, this woman says you cannot be employed by the state and also demand immunity from public scrutiny. She said that's not how government works in America. So that'll be very interesting. It all hovers around what these kids are teaching their students. You know, it's like the babysitter. You trust her when you leave, right, with your kids. But you don't know how babysitter is treating your little girl or boy. It's the same thing with schools and teachers. You trust them to take care of your child, not inculcate them with your own political opinions. That's not what being a teacher is all about. Now, maybe they get teachers these days in these public schools are getting their lead from these newspapers that are now advancing their own political philosophy on the front page rather than just giving you the straight objective news. It's kind of that way, is it not? Anyway, kind of an interesting story. We're going to be talking with Sarah Perry in a few minutes about teaching that kind of thing in an Illinois school. And those of you that live around the Chicago area, it's the Evanston-Skokie School District, just north of the city. So stay tuned for that. In the meantime, there is a lot of things going on when it comes to schools with lawsuits right now on the vaccine. Did you know that? These universities, these kids, hundreds of thousands of college kids at public universities are deciding they don't want to get vaccinated, but they want to go to school. So they are bringing federal lawsuits challenging the shots at major public university systems, including the systems in Indiana, Connecticut, California, and Massachusetts, all those campuses. Now, the kids are being backed by anti-vaccine groups, and they are insisting they have a right to not be vaccinated when they go to school. Now, it says here, the odds against their winning this are very small. Or let's say the odds are large. It's going to be hard for them to win. Already, a federal appeals court says Indiana University can enforce virus shots on the kids. And I think to some extent that's the right decision, by the way. Much as I like to see freedom and parent involvement, et cetera, if you're going especially to a university, it's not a right, it's a privilege. They have rules, you follow them. You don't like the rules, go somewhere else, right? Not like where you're forced to go to a grammar school, right? Where you have to go to school, you have no choice in the matter. Then I think it's a little bit different. Then I think maybe you have more of a voice. Anyway, we are going to take our break. We're going to continue along the line of talking about schools and their rights, whether or not a school district can force critical race theory on both its teachers and its students.
There's a reason why I'm feeling so high. Must be the season when that love light shines all around us.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Go yard is a metaphor used in baseball, meaning to hit a home run. Life struggles can make you feel like you just struck out. It's times like these that we need a little batting practice to pick ourselves back up and get back in the game. Whether you are dealing with marital issues, drug addiction, rebellious teens, anxiety, depression, or just generally having a bad day, call Mama Mac. If life has you down 0-2, before you strike out, learn to go yard. Go yard with Mama Mac on this radio station, Thursdays, 6 o'clock.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back, and thank you so very much for being with us here on a Friday. And are delighted to have Sarah Perry joining us. She is a legal fellow at the Edwin Meese Center for Legal and Judicial Studies at the Heritage Foundation. And we're going to talk a little bit about a school district just north of Chicago. It's the Evanston-Skokie School District 55 there, Northern Illinois. And what's going on with teachers and students and this whole thing, I guess, about the critical race theory and whether or not these kinds of things need to be taught. And also the idea of whiteness and whether or not that's a condition. Sarah, welcome to Freedom Works.
Thanks so much for having me.
Very important issue. Very much in vogue. And I'm worried that, in fact, it is an issue that is permeating a lot of school districts, high school and grammar school at this point. But tell us a little bit about this situation with Illinois School District 65, if you would.
So I'll give you first a little bit of background about what I did in my previous life, and that was I was senior counsel at the Office for Civil Rights at the U.S. Department of Education, and I actually had firsthand knowledge and involvement in the investigation of this particular situation in Evanston-Skokie while I was under the Trump administration. And that gives you a bit of background because we determined after an extensive investigation that yes, indeed, they were using race in their teaching materials, their training materials, their extracurricular materials in a way that violated Title VI of the Civil Rights Act. Now, for those of you who are listening, that prohibits discrimination on the basis of race, color, or national origin by recipients of federal education funding. And it also prohibits retaliation. So if someone makes a complaint on an issue like this about race and its improper use, it protects that individual from being retaliated against. Well, we submitted an 18-page letter of findings in January, and within a few days after President Biden's inauguration, that letter was revoked and that letter was archived, and the department reversed the findings, closing the case. But my good friend Kim Herman at Southeastern Legal Foundation, who is just a heck of a lawyer herself, decided she was going to open a complaint in this matter on behalf of teacher Stacey DeMar, who came to her with the same concerns. And some of the facts in this case are truly astonishing. The way that these individuals and administrators were using race really does boggle the mind. Well, I'll give you a couple examples here. They actually were teaching trainers that to be less white was to be less racially oppressive, that white identity is inherently racist, that teachers who disagreed with those principles are themselves racist, that students should be treating people equally is a concept that helps racism. Now, equality helping racism is a new concept to me.
I think so.
It requires a lot of stretching. Engaging in race shaming, such as racially segregated teacher and student privilege walks. This is where they would separate the teachers and then separate the students by their race.
Oh my God.
Informing them that they were being forced to apologize were virtue of their own immutable characteristics, their own race, an accident of birth, as the Supreme Court has called it, which is patently in violation of Title VI. And then they used racially segregated affinity groups where their teachers were divided and given separate training based on their skin color. There are more that is just the tip of the iceberg, but you can see why the previous administration recognized this as a patent civil rights violation.
Oh, my God, it's unbelievable. I didn't think it was this bad. I come from the Chicago area. I know the area there. Skokie, Evanston, a lot of Jewish people there. It's a mixed area. And I'm just thinking, why would people put up with this unless they didn't know what was going on? Now, are we talking, when we're talking about School District 65 there, are we talking about grammar school or high school or both, or what's going on with the level?
We're talking about the entirety of pre-K through 12 curriculum, training, and teaching.
Really?
That means the indoctrination begins at a very young level with these individuals. Now, we had an extensive opportunity to review all the curriculum that was coming through, the different philosophies that were being utilized, many of which, and I do want to stress this, were being developed and instituted by outside external curriculum consultants, as they were called.
Oh, my God.
These consultants were individuals.
Vultures.
As you might. Yeah, absolutely. Individuals you might already recognize, like Tanishi Coates, Ibrahim Kendi X, Hannah Nicole Jones, the founder of the 1619 Project. So you know that this is not something that was done free of bias, but was actually itself extremely biased and politicized from the very outset of its institution. But it is probably, I would say, the tip of the iceberg as far as these critical race theory lawsuits go, because we know it was in its micro form right here in this school district representative
wow.
of actually separating individuals by their race, different classes.
Can you imagine doing that to a little 7 or 8 or 9 year old child that hasn't, you know, it's still forming their what to
yes.
think? I can't believe that they would. This is really child abuse.
Well, and it also goes hand in hand, and a lot of people don't recognize this, that they don't sort of understand the pedagogical development and the education background of things like critical theory, but this is a concept that deconstructs notions of traditional paradigms, family, race, protected immutable characteristics. So often when you see critical race theory, critical gender theory is not far behind. And in fact, Black Lives Matter for many years has promoted gender identity, transgender rights, right alongside their purported sort of turning on its head of civil rights law. So there are many deconstructive efforts that are taking place in public schools nationwide. This was one of them that was absolutely a slam dunk case for the Southeastern Legal Foundation to bring. I don't think a federal judge in his or her right mind is going to be able to find for the defendant school district in this case. I just don't see how those legal gymnastics are possible.
Yeah, I don't either. Now, what is the timeline on this in terms of the filing and decisions? Is there any calendar on this right now?
Well, the calendar's very, very early. The complaint was just filed at the end of June.
Okay.
So they are currently waiting now for the answer to the complaint from the defendant school district and the school administrators
okay.
themselves. So we will see what purported defense this school district's going to raise. We understand and listen, as somebody who has studied these issues for years, when you get to the Supreme Court level and you sort of provide the analysis of race in education, the Supreme Court has said, we don't like the use of race. Even if you want to say diversity is the ultimate aim, that's a highly suspect class. We're going to look a little bit sideways if we see race brought into the equation. You have to prove to us that race-neutral alternatives were not available. So that's what the district in this case would have to utilize as their defense for the use of race in these trainings. And I just don't think that passes legal muster.
Yeah. We're talking with Sarah Perry, who's very knowledgeable about this particular suit. She's a legal fellow at the Edwin Meese Center. for Legal and Judicial Studies at the Great Heritage Foundation. And she mentions the Southeastern Legal Foundation, which is filing this lawsuit. Sarah, what are the parents of these kids? I just cannot believe it. I mean, this is a very, from what I understand, it's a very populated school district, quite a few thousand kids there. What are the parents? Where are the parents? What are they saying about this? Have you heard anything about that?
The parents up to this point have been very quiet, and we do know that the plaintiff herself in this case, who has a private right of action, a lot of people don't recognize that in the Civil Rights Act, some of these statutes actually allow not just government involvement, but private individual involvement as well. And so Title VI has conferred to this particular teacher a private right of action, which is why she's able to go through this private lawsuit, even though the actual federal government has said, well, we don't think there's anything wrong here. She herself was very concerned about initiation into the lawsuit because she was concerned about retaliation in the environment. And I do think because, as you rightly said, because of its proximity to Chicago and it being a Chicago suburb. Again, Lori Lightfoot, we know, is the mayor of Chicago. This is sort of ground central for woke education and a lot of what we're seeing out of the Midwest. And listen, I was born and raised in Wisconsin, so it wasn't like this when I was going to school.
No.
It really is surprisingly sort of left progressive influence. So we're not hearing much. And I think as these individuals watch the lawsuit progress, and as I'm hopeful, see the success of this individual teacher in pushing back, we'll see some more courage from these parents on the ground.
Now, you're in Northern Illinois, so you're going to have a liberal appeals court. I wonder if it'll get past them to the Supreme Court. That's what I'm wondering. Now, let me just ask this, though, Sarah. Do you see this particular situation as emblematic of what is going on across our country, or is this one that just kind of goes overboard?
No, I have to tell you, and I wish I could say that this was an outlier, but I do think that based on what we were seeing during my time in the administration, this had begun to be a problem months and months before the inauguration of Joe Biden. And we knew that there was sort of an increasing push for the prohibited use of race in public education. And as soon as Nicole Hannah-Jones won the Pulitzer for the 1619 Project, I think a lot of us realized that sort of the ship had sailed from port on this one. And to know that it is actually historically inaccurate and that history professors from Ivy League schools have decried it as historically inaccurate, and yet it found the basis for so much public education curriculum on race and history. This was a foregone conclusion, which is why I'm so encouraged that Southeastern Legal Foundation decided that they were going to represent the teacher in this case and actually establish a foundation. And one more note about the Supreme Court's involvement here. We are waiting to determine whether or not the Supreme Court is going to grant grant review in a case called Students for Fair Admission versus Harvard. And this is a case in which a number of Asian American students came together and they filed a lawsuit against Harvard University that had actually dumbed down some of its testing and curricular requirements, some of its entry requirements, in order to form a more diverse student body. And in such situation, we're privileging one racial group above another racial group. They were actually discriminating against Asian Americans. They were taking color into consideration. If the Supreme Court grants cert and has an opportunity to revisit things like affirmative action and the use of race and race criteria in school admissions, it may also have an opportunity to review curriculum involvement as well. And it could very well forestall either the success or the failure of a lawsuit like this.
Yeah, that's very interesting. So it might go through the back door, with the Harvard case being the front door on this for the Supreme Court. That's interesting. This whole thing about critical race theory, I mean, Is this a bastardization of history? Is that what these kids are being taught, along with obviously being taught that if you're white, you are already privileged? We know about that thing, but are they actually bastardizing and taking history out of context, et cetera, for these children?
Yes, they are. In fact, this is a technique that is used frequently and has been used successfully for years by Marxists. And that is what Nicole Hannah-Jones has utilized as the foundation for the 1619 Project, taking from the first recorded incidents of slavery in the United States, the first setting foot of African-American individuals and black individuals from Africa, from the Caribbean, in the United States as the founding of our nation, even though we had spent thousands in American lives, hundreds of thousands in American lives and bloodshed, thousands and thousands of dollars in reparations and prohibitions afterwards against slavery in the Civil Rights Act and destroying Jim Crow and crushing the Ku Klux Klan. It reinstitutes a race-centric view of the United States that we don't have. And polling tells us right now about 75% of Americans believe that race relations in the United States have never been worse. That is no coincidence that it tracks evenly with the institution of critical race theory and the 1619 Project in America. The more we draw attention to race, the more individuals are drawn to see each other as different and not members of one human race.
Sarah, you are an eloquent spokesman. I've really enjoyed talking with you, and I can see the energy in your voice. This is such an important topic. You are so right about the Marxist philosophy, divide and conquer. And that's what's happening, and they're winning to some extent, because look, we're all talking about this, and we're all at each other's backs. Boy, oh boy, Abraham Lincoln was right. A house divided against itself cannot stand. Thank you so very much, Sarah. Hope to talk with you again.
Thanks so much for having me.
Our pleasure. Sarah Perry. All right. Very good. Very interesting. Wow. Going to take our break. And when we come back, the White House silent on forcing illegal immigration, or I should say illegal immigrants to get vaccinated. Why are they? All the while they're demanding that U.S. citizens get their shot. We're going to talk about that and other things with the proprietor of the barber pole himself, Andrew Ceresi.
She wasn't searching for the latest style. He didn't want someone who walks straight off the TV.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tantalk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports!
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back on a very hot middle of the summer day here on the Tantalk Radio Network. By the way, you can watch us and listen to us every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the great Tantalk Radio Network. Yes, indeed, we got the camera going, and you can, I think you connect up with YouTube. I don't even know how it works, but you can do that. But if you cannot listen to our program live and you still want to hear some of our shows, thanks to Big Ed, all of them are put on podcast for you. Just go to our website, OurFreedomWorks.com. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. And look at the top. There's the podcast button. Ed's got all our shows there. So bless you, Ed. All right. So I guess Biden and DeSantis are continuing their war of words here. Biden, you know, talking about how we all got to vax up, right? He said that Texas and Florida are getting in the way of fighting the virus in their states because of the way that they're talking about letting people make up their own minds. The next day, our Florida Governor DeSantis responded by arguing he is standing in the way of policies he feels do not benefit the state. He said, if you're coming after the rights of parents in Florida, I am standing in your way. If you're trying to deny kids a proper in-person education, I'm going to stand in your way. I'm going to stand up for the kids in Florida. If you're trying to restrict people and impose mandates and ruin their jobs and livelihood, if you're trying to lock people down, I'm standing in your way. He went viral on social media the other day following a press conference where he told Biden he doesn't want to hear blip about the coronavirus until Biden secures the border. So we got the proprietor of the Barber poll with us, Andrew Ceraci. Andrew, I thought DeSantis nailed it. He probably kind of secured his job as governor there. What do you think?
Well, the kid is phenomenal. He told Biden just the way it is.
Yeah.
Stands up for the people in Florida. And did you see these morons with their bowl from St. Pete saying Charlie Crist is ahead of him in the poll?
I did. That's that's nonsense. There is no way.
Malarkey.
Yeah. You're being kind. I think that's an out, talk about an outlier.
You know,
that's
Paul,
an out and out lie.
They're doing nothing but coming after Florida and Texas. You know why they're coming after Florida? They are petrified of Ron DeSantis because he is standing up. Well, you know, and it makes me laugh. You hear these mothers, why don't we have a mask mandate? We need a mask mandate in school. Lady, make your kid wear the mask. You got the choice.
Right.
What's their freaking problem?
Right.
Don't they understand what he says? Does it got to be written in a special language or something?
Now, I'm not sure about the rules for private schools. The governor can be involved in enforcing a no-mask mandate, you know, say in a public school, where the parents can make up their mind and not the school district. I'm not so sure about private schools. I think private schools pretty much
private
have...
Private schools, they can do their own
thing. They can do their own thing.
I'm not worried about
that. No, I'm not either. I'm just saying that out just so we can...
You know, it's just like my barbershop, Paul.
Yeah.
I can tell people I'm not doing anybody without a mask. I'm not doing that. All I'm doing, you know, I believe this is nothing but a bunch of baloney because I do have a few friends that are nurses. And now it makes me laugh. Because she says, you know, Andrew, she goes, I don't know where these news people get their baloney from, but they're lying, but they're not lying. She says the one hospital she works in has 10 beds in the ICU, right?
Yeah.
For COVID patients. Okay? So now there's 10 beds there. Those 10 beds would be 100% of their COVID unit. Now 3 beds got patients in them. That's 30% of their COVID.
That's all?
3 people. 3 people, Paul. Is there 30%?
That doesn't sound like a crisis to me. Does it to you?
No, but you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
30% of their COVID facility is full.
Yeah. Well, now let's...
Lying. Mm-hmm. They're not lying.
This Delta variant, apparently, and I don't think people know enough about it yet, but they seem to think that it's more catchable. But I get the impression at the same time, we have really stalled the morbidity, people dying from this virus. Have you noticed that?
Well, show me the people dropping in the streets. Then I'll believe what they tell me.
Yeah.
Until then, Paul, I'm honest with you. I don't believe a word this government is telling me today. This administration is so full of crap. They're using the fear-mongering to get to the people.
Now, they got that Jen Psaki, the White House press secretary, back on her heels yesterday when one of the reporters there during the press conference, I think it was the Fox News guy, asked whether the Biden administration is going to require vaccines for migrants, illegals coming across the southern border. Here he is talking about, okay, we all got to get vaccinated, you know, leaning over the microphone, get vaccinated. And then he's got the southern border, people are pouring in with diseases. What's going on?
Well, they're full of crap. That is what's going on. that are doing nothing but keeping the border open, trying to scare the people to get your listen. The vaccine, wear a mask. No vaccine, wear a mask. If you had it before, wear a mask. They're full of crap. Mm-hmm. They don't even know what they are talking about.
Yeah. Now, when I go into Publix, and for those of you outside of our area, Publix is the major shop, grocery store in Florida. I do notice, Andrew, that a higher percentage of people are, again, wearing masks. Have you noticed
that?
Fine,
Paul. Let them.
Yeah.
It's fine. I'm not going to wear mine.
But you don't mind. You don't mind somebody else wearing one, do you?
No, they can wear it, especially if they're ugly. I could care less. It's a good thing for some people.
Well, for that case, then you wear a hood. Go ahead.
You know what I'm saying is, yeah, it's ridiculous. If they want to wear one, wear one. I could care less.
Okay. Now,
so don't yell at me for not wearing one.
Now, let's be upfront. You did get the virus, correct? You believe you did?
Yes.
Okay. And
my wife and I both had it.
And you're none the worse for wear, correct?
I'm what?
You are none the worse for wear.
No, I'm fine.
Yeah. Now, you also take the temperature of your patrons now when they come in?
Everybody that comes in, just to make it, and they're all laughing at me.
Okay.
My customers are all laughing at me, but I said, listen, I want to do this just feel I'm doing something anyway.
Yeah.
Because I believe they're full of crap, but you never know.
Right. Okay.
Like I said, until I see people dropping, I don't believe nothing.
Have you ever had anybody, when you took the temperature, not pass in or, you know?
No.
Not fail?
No.
Okay.
No, everybody, no temperatures.
Okay.
Temperature, don't come back when you don't have one.
So, as we roll into, we're getting, like, here in Florida, the kids are going to be going back to school. Hopefully, all of them. Hopefully, all the schools are going to be open. And all the kids are going to be back, which was what we desperately need. And it's what Ron DeSantis has been pushing forever. But there's still this concern that some of these schools across the country are not going to be fully open. The teachers' unions are still talking about, well, now we got this new variant. We're not quite sure if we, you know, your thoughts on getting everybody back into the classroom.
Well, here's my thoughts. The ones that aren't going to open their schools are all Democrat-run states, number one. And you know what? If they want to destroy their states, let them.
You know, here's another thing that the president is trying to infer, that rednecks are the ones that are not getting their shots. Actually, it's inner-city blacks that are not, and Hispanics that are not getting their shots, that make up the bulk, the large percentage of people that are not being vaccinated. Now, I'm not saying one way or the other, but they are being a little bit disingenuous when they try to say, well, look, it's Florida and all the southern states. It's actually more inner city areas that make up this huge percentage.
Any kind of language for a president to be calling the citizens of his country rednecks?
I don't think he did actually say that. I'm using that term.
Okay.
I'm saying it only because he's inferring that it's like Trump supporters and conservatives and blue-collar whites that are not getting their shots. That's not true. I think most people on either side are thinking about it, and I think most vaccinations, I think it crosses political lines pretty evenly.
Yeah, Paul, I could pay. The only shot I'm going to get next week is going to be the shingles vaccine.
Okay.
And that's the only shot I'm going to get. It's been tested, it works, and I get the shingles, and I had them, and I'm done with it.
You know, I'm getting a shot tonight.
Yeah, I know where you're getting a shot.
No, over at Norton's. It's a sports bar. Well, okay, it's a shot, though.
That'll probably...
Yeah. I'm going to get my shot.
That'll cure the COVID, too, believe me.
I think you're right.
Well, this country's a mess. Biden's screwing up everything. Did you see Kamala Harris had a meeting last week and she's hiring new people, a new company to try and get her...
First of all, it's hard to watch her talk. She makes your skin start to slide up and down on the bone. That's the way I think of it.
It makes the hair on my back stand up.
Yeah.
Like a Rhodesian Ridgeback.
Yes. Go ahead.
But Paul, she had a special meeting last week because she's worried that people don't like her. You ought to be.
She's right.
People don't like you. She's right.
She's not being liked by either Republicans or Democrats. Democrats want to hide her away in a closet.
Again, I still believe this last election was nothing but a total fraud. There is no way those two morons got 80 million votes. Like I said, she got 2% of the vote in the primary, had to back out because she ran out of money.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Biden was talking in circles, as James Packey would say. He kept circling back the whole thing. No freaking way.
I got to ask you.
And you know what, Paul?
What?
It's like you said, they're winning. They're winning.
Yeah.
If the American people don't stand up, they're going to win.
Well, I think there's going to be a lot of stand-up in November of next year, but I want to ask you something. At one point, your brother, who lives in Rochester, New York, and we have him on every Monday, he's a delight, thought that Cuomo, the governor, Andrew Cuomo of New York, would survive the assault that's going on right now against him. Well, now it sounds to me like maybe he won't survive. Have you changed your feeling on whether or not the governor of New York is going to be in there within
Just telling you, Paul, he ain't going anywhere.
You really don't think so, huh?
He's
no matter what.
He's got more connections than Biden's got, believe me.
Yeah, I believe that, but...
He is not going anywhere, Paul.
You don't think the pressure's on him? They may impeach him.
Look at Nancy Pelosi last week telling the 81-year-old judge she needs to retire because he's too old.
She's about 82.
She's 82.
Yeah. That's kind of a hypocrite.
These people are nuts, Paul. She's got nowhere being where she is, and the dumb people that put her there got nowhere. They shouldn't even be allowed to vote because they don't know what they're even talking about.
I'll tell you what, this is a wild and crazy and whatever the word is for being out of... It's kind of a bizarre world now. Bizarre.
What about that black representative there, the one part of the squad? I can't remember her name.
Oh, the nut that wants to have everybody guard her. She wants to have 400 guards wandering in a circle around her to protect her. But no, but we'll defund the police at the same time.
The thing, I won't let them get that off. You can't get that off. I'm going to make sure I have security because I know I have had attempts on my life. And I have too much work to do. There are too many people that need help right now for me to allow that. So if I end up spending $200,000, if I spend $10 more dollars on it, you know what? I get to be here to do the work. So suck it up. And defunding the police has to happen. We need to defund the police and put that money into social safety nets.
How'd you like my imitation of that woman?
That was beautiful, Paul. That was beautiful.
Thank you.
But you know, isn't that amazing? What I want to know is $170,000 a year salary. How the hell are you affording $270,000 in the last?
Look, she's the best. She is. I'm trying to think of that other person. She is about the best tool for the Republicans. Get her out there on the stump as much as possible between now and next November. We want her to be the face of the Democratic Party.
Every Democrat should be helping the Republican Party because look at what every one of them thinks. Look at what they do. Look at how they act. But you know what really gets me are the 17 Republicans that are backing this infrastructure bill, Paul.
Yeah. Well, again, you know, this is money we don't have, and they're going to spend it on things that have nothing to do with infrastructure. You know how this works.
Well,
this is a complete...
These Republicans got to go.
I agree with you.
They have got to go.
They're involved, too.
Get rid of them. So far in all these special elections, everybody that Trump has promoted has won, haven't they?
Pretty much there was one or two that didn't, but that's all right. He's not going to win them all.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, we got to try.
Yeah, exactly.
Try,
Andrew, just a pleasure again, my friend. We could go on forever here, but I'm going to look forward to talking with you and perhaps your brother. I'm going to ask him about Cuomo on Monday. So
he loves the guy, believe me.
I know how much he loves him. Thanks so much, Andrew.
All right, Paul. Be good.
You too. The Master Barber. Let's take our break. When we come back, we're losing pitchers left and right, Ed, on the Tampa Bay Rays. I got to ask you about that when we return.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back for the final segment here, such as it is, of Freedom Works, and we thank you so much for being with us. So you remember Ashley Babbitt, right? She was that woman that was, she's the only victim, by the way, in the January 6th insurrection that died. She was a California woman. She was participating in the riot. She was coming through the door. And according to lawyers representing her family, she was ambushed by the Capitol police officer who fatally shot her as she tried to enter the speaker's lobby outside the House chamber. The family is planning on filing a $10 million wrongful death lawsuit against Capitol Police. Their lawyer said he believes the officer did not give Babbitt verbal warning before he shot her. He says it's not debatable. There was no warning. I would call what he did an ambush. I don't think he's a good officer. I think he's reckless. Now, the unidentified officer's lawyer is Mark Schammel. He's denied this version. He said the officer did try to tell them to stop. He apparently might have been wearing a mask at the time. Stay back, don't come in here. But nobody could pick it up on the video. They couldn't pick up the voice. So we'll see where all of that goes. But there is a suit being filed. Originally, this officer was cleared of any wrongdoing by the U.S. Justice Department, which said, quote, there is insufficient evidence to support a criminal prosecution. So we'll see where this civil suit goes. All right, Ed, before we get to our top 10, I don't know what's going on with the pitching staff of the Tampa Bay Rays, but did I read this right? Are there 15 pitchers that are injured or on, yeah, on shelf, or what's going on?
Well, we've got a few on the shelf. Some are all, well, like Glasnow is going to be gone for a year and a half. He won't be back till 2023.
Really? What happened to him?
He's going to have Tommy John surgery. In fact, I think that happens today.
Rotator cuff stuff?
Well, that's the elbow.
Okay.
He's gone. That takes almost a year to rehab. So if he's lucky, 2023. But we have some couple of pitches with some boo-boos that are working it out. But if one thing the Rays have in their farm system is a plethora of pitching.
That's what you want.
You know, yeah.
Good teams, they want good pitching.
And they managed to come up with them, you know. Yeah, they've made some trades, and I think they'll be okay. You know,
good.
They'll be okay as long as the guys on offense can start hitting the ball on a consistent basis.
Yes.
You know, we can't rely on winning 1-0. You know, we can't rely on that. We might have to win 5-4 or something like that.
Also, I want to ask you real quickly about the NFL. Did they actually start a exhibition season last night?
Last night was the Steelers and the Cowboys.
Yeah, that was a biggie. I was really concerned about that one.
Boy, was that a snoozer. The backups played.
So does that mean that we're going to have like a every week now at least a couple of games?
Starting next weekend, there'll be a...
When are our beloved Super Bowl champion Bucks going to be playing?
The Bucks will start next Saturday night.
Ah!
Yep.
Who are they playing, do you know?
Yeah, I forgot.
Okay. But Tom Brady will lead them on. By the way, Tom Brady has been chiding some of his teammates about their work ethic or something.
Oh, that happens all the time.
Yeah, but it's good. He's sort of like a co-coach, isn't
he? What's funny is for the Hall of Fame induction ceremony this weekend for Peyton Manning,
yeah,
Tom Brady is a guest in his area. He's going to support Peyton Manning going into the, which is just strange.
Why?
Well, because for years they played against each other. I know. It's mutual respect.
Of course it is.
And I just wonder if he's going to wear a Peyton Manning jersey. That would just be off.
Do you think he doesn't like Peyton Manning personally?
They're very close friends.
I would think so.
They are.
Yeah. They are. Quarterbacks like that tend to like each other.
Yeah.
I think. Okay, it's time for our top 10. I think it's a good one. It comes from Statista.com. These are the most populous counties in the United States. I want to see, Ed, if you'll know, what's number one. But here we go. Number 10. Riverside County, California is the 10th most populated county, 2.47 million people. Number 9. Other side of the country, Kings County, New York. Is that near where you used to live?
I don't know where that is.
Really? 2.56 million people in Kings County, New York.
It has to be in the state of New York, because on Long Island, there's no King County.
Okay. Number 8. Dallas County, Texas. It's a growing area. 2.64 million people. All right. Number 7. Here in Florida, Miami-Dade County. That's our most populated county. They have 2.72 million people. We have what here in Pinellas, Hillsborough area? We got about 1.6 million, 1.7 million, something like that. I'm going to guess.
Yeah, pretty close to that.
All right. Number 6. Back out west, Orange County, California. 3.18 million people. Always very, God, I would hate to be on the interstate and highways out there. What a mess. Number 5, another area, San Diego County, California. 5th most populated now. 3.34 million people there. Number 4, the county where they're doing the audit. Where's that? Maricopa County, Arizona, right?
Mm-hmm.
4.49 million people in there. I didn't realize how big it was, you know. Of course, that's Phoenix.
Yeah.
Okay, number 3. Harris County, Texas. That's Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, very fast-growing area. 4.71 million people. Wow, number 2.
Does that include illegal aliens or not?
You can add another 4.71 million people
probably
to that. Number 2. Cook County, Illinois, where I used to live. I didn't live in the county. I lived next to the county. But they've got 5.15 million people there in Cook County. Wow, big. Includes, of course, Chicago. Finally, Ed, what do you think is number one largest county?
I don't know, but I'll go with somewhere in the state of Texas.
That's a good guess. It's a very good guess, the way people are pouring in there. But it ain't right. It's Los Angeles County, California. Yeah. Why isn't New York involved? Well, it's because they have boroughs rather than counties.
Yeah, and New York's spread out, too, you know.
That's another thing.
It's very spread out.
Yeah. Well, L.A. County's got 10.04 million people, so it's almost double Cook County, which is in second place. Just shows you how populated that area is. But I'm thinking there's a lot of people, including the governor, that maybe run out of town. Maybe they'll lose some people there.
Maybe there'll be one less by next month or so.
Yeah, exactly. So we've got so many things going on right now. We got a little time. That's why I'm actually talking with Ed here on it. But we got so many things going on with Governor DeSantis and the schools and masks and everything. I'm just hoping that things are going to settle down. Gee, I was hoping all of this would be over with by now. You know, we wouldn't be wearing masks and everybody would.
Well, I mean, if enough people get vaccinated, it kind of takes care of that, you know?
Yeah. So we're encouraging it, are we not? We are encouraging it. We want people to get their vaccine shots. Yeah. Ed and I both got our shots. We feel great. We dream in Technicolor now instead of black and white.
Yeah,
so it's really cool. All right. So thanks so much for being with us. We will be back on Monday. Please remember, freedom works.